Haigon, Ramban, Rajba, etc. I just want to make one quick point on that. So we were discussing how Rav Haigon reads the Sugya Daf Chaf Amud Aleph as Edus Bikinyan. I mentioned that the, again, a situation where basically which tests whether or not the ability to write the shtar is equivalent, like a virtual shtar, you know, potential, also carries with it some of the benefits or advantages or rights of a shtar. And that, of course, is very fascinating, that idea. And particularly, Rav Haigon's talking about Shtar Chavini, my boy. And I say there's a whole literature on this. There's a whole tshuva of the Ravid in the Tmim Deim. And, you know, without going into further detail, because we mostly discussed it, again, if it's if what's unique about Shtar is the, you know, what goes into it, you know, not so much the Shtar itself, in other words, but the... Das and Eschayiv, if you want to say, that allows for it to be generated. So then, you know, the idea that you could substitute the dinim of shtar, certain dinim of shtar, with kinyan sudar makes a lot of sense. On the other hand, if, you know, even if there is that common denominator, but the shtar in its own right, you know, either, you know, in terms of umdana, like there's a shtar, so that's a smoking gun or smoking knife, someone said. So, you know, you're not going to, either you need the umdana or the umdana is, if the umdana is part of the story, the umdana is the whole story, certainly. So then, obviously, you know, the potential through Kinyan Sudar to create one, you know, is never going to be enough. Or... if the point of the shtar is that, you know, biyad balashtar, you know, that you, you know, the rest of it gives you the ability to read Eidos, that part doesn't exist until it exists. So the position of Rav Haigon really tests, you know, this issue in a very significant way. So the Rif quotes it and doesn't like it, but mostly his objections are, you know, in terms of parshanut. You know, the Rif doesn't say... you know, this is like, you know, a legal concept, you know, that is totally unacceptable. On the other hand, the Ramban does, and that's what the Ran is quoting, but it's in the Ramban. The Ramban, you know, says that, you know, Kinyan, you know, or Eidos B'Kinyan is no different than, you know, Shtar, Shenofal, maybe it's, you know, it's worse than that. It's certainly not better, you know, than a shtar that shenafal. And the question is whether or not to hand it over to the baldavar or not. And the Rajba, as we discussed, says no, it is worse because that is a reisa, that's itra, because you had a shtar. How did it end up in the street? Probably ended up in the street because you know, you weren't careful about it because it wasn't really a serious document, because it was just either preliminary or a forgery or, you know, whatever the case may be. But in the case of, you know, Eidos B'Kinyan, there's no reisa. So that's true. There is no reisa, and there's also no tfisas bal hashtar to read Eidos into this shtar. You know, again, the issue is in terms of shtar chavyoni my boy to say lo parua. So I think what the Ramban is zeroing in on is that, you know, like a shtar bashuk, and this is probably how the Ramban understands, a shtar bashuk is itra because, not so much because it's itra, or only because it's itra, but because since it doesn't have the umdana, and it's not in the hands of the bala shtar, so that, you know, it's defanged, it just doesn't have any basis, you know, to apply, you know, the Reish Lakish type halachos. And Shtar Chavyoni my boy is one of those Reish Lakish type halachos, all things being equal. And the Rajba is saying, no, it's really midin, you know, reisa, not the absence of tefisas palashtar, you know, it's the reisa shabo. So it's just very interesting also to note that even the language of the Rajba, when he tries to explain, the Rajba here, you know, takes the umdana, you know, approach even to Shtar Chavyoni, my boy. So, for example, when he talks about, when he tries to explain why he thinks that Rav Haigon is correct. He says, again, Avol HaRajba Katsa Daita Kedasa Gon, Vahidam, I'm just reading through the Ram, but it's really the Raj Balatar. I just don't want to get too ensconced in the Sugya and Ksuvas. Ahida Motzi Shtar Chov Lo Kasha, Hasim Shim Denof Al Itra, Teda Da Chayshin Al HaKafila B'Tog Zmane. Even if it's within 30 days or the time period, so it's not, you know, Omeid Lepiron, even then, we don't return the Shtar because it's Itra. Hasim Nami Hayda Tamid, Ein Osim Shim Dekiva De Pasku Bezim Lemil Sayu, Mistama Yifru La Alter. Same thing with a Psak Din. Avol kinyan shenimsar al das lichtav asashtar dostam kinyan leksiva omeid kosvin bein choshen lepiron. So you could have said that the reason for that is because the das of mischayev, even without the shtar, you know, creates a yodo al ha'alyona situation for the for the malva, and that's, I think, really the pshat, you know, in Rav Haigon. It's just interesting that the Rajba, who, anyways, is kind of reducing all these things to umdana'os, doesn't explain it that way. He says, "She'ilu rotza lo v'leparo kodem lachein, kiven di yada de edim kosvile shtara, kozman shiyirza, iboile lemichtav tavra, v'ilo ovid, iu de afsin anafshe." And then he quotes, you know, the Gemara in the end of Bava Basra. So I just think it's interesting that even though the Rajba is embracing Rav Haigon, and in my opinion, Rav Haigon is saying something very fundamental about Kinyan Sudar and Shtar, not Midin, you know, Reish Lakish so much, but Midin Shtar Chabiyani my boy, and as I say, you know, Dasa Miskayev, and this question of the balance of power, something we discussed a little bit for those who were here last year. Meaning Cheskas Chiyuv, what's the, you know, normally we say about any Dinei Mamda situation, Amotzi Mechaber, all of Araya. But, you know, that can change, and that's like the Cheskas Mamon, meaning you want to take money from me, the burden of proof is on you, right? It's in my pocket, it's in my bank account. So if you want to prove, if you want to initiate some change in the status quo, then Motzi Mechaber, all of Araya. Right? Except when, you know, there is, you know, some other factor, you know, that neutralizes or overrides that. And one of those things could be a kind of cheskas, you know, chiyuv. And that's the idea that, you know, you owe me until you don't owe me. The difference between, you know, Ein Yodea Praticha and Ein Yodea Ibis Chayavti, the Mishnah, you know, in the end of Bava Kama. So the point, you know, in Rav Hai probably is that, you know, when there is extra das and mischayev, when you enter a kinyan, enter a transaction with kinyan sudar, you know, there's always a kind of, this is his assumption, I don't think I have to say it, there's always a kind of a yado alo al yona or a cheskas chiyuv or kind of an implicit imbalance, you know, in the relationship, you know, of the parties. But the Rajba, interestingly enough, you know, is seeing it more, you know, in terms of, you know, iu d'afsid anafshe, more in terms of umdana. It could be that you need both of these elements. But either way, it's a very fascinating argument between Rav Hai, the Ramban, and the Rajba, and I mentioned the Raivid, and it's a very important issue in general. Okay, so that's that. Let me say something about just the Ritva for a moment. We had the Shita of the Ritva. Gavi, what's the Ritva in Makos? Just to, you know, just talk about it for one more minute. The Ritva in Makos has a Kiddush that the Tosis Rid certainly disagrees with. And it's like an open, interesting open question. Even if you hold Mipim Velo Mipiksavam, right? And therefore, Ein Adam Sholech Igeres LeBezdin. Go ahead. No, not that. The Ritva I'm talking about on Daf above. He quotes Bala Itur and so on. Yeah, so what does he say? So he equates two things. There are two, just to bring out two points in the Rajba, in the Ritva. And that is, number one, an equation, and number two, an exception. Actually, a double equation. We'll say three things. Meaning the chiddush of the Ritva is that what? That even though ein adam sholeach igeres lebezdin, but what is acceptable? If you were to write your edus in the presence of Bezdin, or if you were to take the deposition and to hand it to Bezdin, as opposed to sending it in. In other words, if you were nochach, if you were in court at the time, if you were physically present, right? Do you have that? Do you have it in front of you? Yeah. Okay, so there are a bunch of chidushim. I just really want to get them on the record. Keep going just for one more minute, and then we'll just finish it up, and then we'll, because I started backwards, but that's because, not really backwards, for our main topic. Go ahead. If he hands the piece of paper or the deposition to Bezin, he's present and says, this is my view, right? Then and that's what Tosfos Reed says explicitly, he disagrees with it. Correct? Yeah, keep going. Is that the end? No. A few more. Oh, the Chei Noagu. So first of all, it's interesting that he says the Chei Noagu. Again, you can see this is a very practical issue for a lot of the Rishonim. I said, beginning with Rashi, speaking about this in his Perush Halach Torah in a very concrete way, as well as the response to it. And as I already mentioned, a little bit of the background. And the Ritva says, V'chei no'agu, meaning the people, not to send, but to stand in the presence of Bezin and then hand in, you're nervous or whatever, so you write down your testimony or you hand in your testimony, that would be acceptable. And other Rishonim disagree. The Rabbi Kiveger, in his Hagos to Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Chav Ches, Sif, whatever it is, Yud Aleph, we'll get back to that in just a second, Hav Shulchan Aruch Paskins, on the Sholeach Higeris, quotes the Ritva, so does some of the other poskim, I think even the Piskei Tshuva there. A lot of them quote the Ritva approvingly, that even if you hold like Rashi, Ein Adam Sholeach Higeris Bebezin, if you hand in a deposition in the presence of Bezin, that would be effective. Again, we know the Tosfos Reed strongly disagrees. You could even make the case, that if you're already there and you have the ability to articulate, maybe it's even worse than being sholeach, where at least you're trying to maximize, right? Or no, since you're present, we discussed this already. Is it iyum? Is it about, Kabbalah, Sedus, and Bezdin? Either way, that's an important sheet. So that's the chiddush of the Ritva, and just you should be aware that some of the poskim agree with that chiddush. But agav, there are two more chiddushim in this discussion of the Ritva, two equations, which are, number one, between Mipik Sabam and Betur Gamon, right? Again, we're not going, I'm just, getting it on the record for the moment, but Mipik, is that so obvious or not? What do you think? What do you think? You could have said, if the one is a din in what? How would you characterize it? Yeah.
The method of conveying the edus to Vesta.
Yeah, I mean, the Edom are conveying the Edus to the best of their ability, and they're saying it, you know, be, you know, you know, so, right. Mipiks, is it about, you know, the form of the Edus, or is it about how directly they convey it? Are we not hearing it from them, or, you know, we're not receiving it from them, kind of? So does what the Ritva says make sense, or those we've shown him 100%? Is it, you know, indisputable? Absolutely not. So then just to point out that there is like a double issue. One is the equation or the comparison of Miturgamon and Mipiksava, not obvious at all. And, you know, especially in light of what the Ritva ends up writing, you know, frankly, like, would you say if there's a Miturgamon and it's Mifanav, you know, that that works? That's an interesting question. Of course, the second equation, and this is how it, there is no, you know, part of being able to make that equation is based on making another equation, namely, between Edom and Bali Din. Right, because the Din of Velomi P. Miturgamon really has its source in Bali Dina. You know, so what we're saying is whatever is true for Bali Dina, and that's the first point, is true for Edom as well. There's a Din of Velomi P. Miturgamon. You have to hear directly from the Baldavar, so who are Din with respect to Edom. Then the Ritva's second point is, okay, you know, so if that's true, namely that you're equating Bali Dina and Edom, Legabe Miturgamon, and being Mechadesh, you know, that there's a din of Miturgamon also in Edim. And again, you could have certainly been Mechalek, right? So who are din? You should go in the other direction. Namely, we for sure know there's a din of Mipiksavam in Edim. Is there a din of Mipiksavam in Bali Dinim? Right? So the assumption is that the equation between Edim and Bali Dinim goes in both directions, you know, from one to the other, and that, you know, Mimela, you're also equating Mipiksavam and Miturgamon. And that, none of those things are obvious at all. So again, if it's about, you know, clarity or maximizing, is it about the Kabbalah of Bezdin? In general, the relationship between, we understand that Edom and Bali Dinim are two different facets of the Din Torah, and that in some cases, you know, the requirements for each are going to be fundamentally different, you know, Lekula and Lechumra, because they're just playing such different roles, obviously. That doesn't mean that there isn't also, like, overlap, either in terms of objectively maximizing, you know, Dibor, or Tainas, or, again, there's a difference between Tainas, which is what Bali Dvarim are about, and Edus, you know, which is what Edus is about. You know, but the common denominator is obviously that the articulation of both are important. But you might have thought that they're different. One is more formal, one is more pragmatic. So, you know, this equation and the equation in both directions, and the equation of Tirgum and Mipiksavam, if the common denominator is, anything that takes place that is formally, you know, received in Bezdin has to have like a certain standard. You know, it has to be, you know, Bedibur, and it has to be, you know, Bedibur Yashir. It has to be, you know, the Gavra, you know, Edim and the Gavra Bali Dinim. But either way, this is not accepted by everyone, and certainly it's important, you know, in the bigger picture. The status of an antler, like a lawyer, again, you know, I see Asher is here, so. You know, we have a couple of other, you know, Shavuos people, maybe, still. So we discuss that. That's a big topic in the fourth parak of Shavuos. You know, the Rishonim there, especially, you know, the Ritva is very big on this topic everywhere. But the Ramban and the Bala Itur, and an antler is like a lawyer, somebody to, you know, to argue the case of the Bala Dinim. So that's, you know, in the continuation or the end there. Do you have it still, Gavi, there at the end? Or he mentions the antler, right? In the end of the piece, I think it does.
It's about the Asher Avosinu, is about the Kivan Shalosh Aminu, the Elvin Shem, Shem, Elamad, Shamar, and Sefer.
So that implies that the Balei Dinim, that their dibur has to be formalized. Yeah, go ahead. Antler or Murcha, right? A Murcha is a person who has a harsha, meaning he's more than a shliach, a super shliach, we'll call him, or a quasi, you know, a baldabar. You know, that's the issue. Yeah, go ahead. That's not considered Pia Torgamon because you're investing a lot of independence, right? And he's like, you know, you're designated, he's like, it's kind of like a lawyer. Your designated Toein is not the same as a Maturgamon. And that you could have, according to some of the Rishonim. Okay, anyway, I don't want to get to the Mordai. I just wanted to make the point that A, the Ritva is Chiddush, and says Shekei Noagu, you know, about actually being in Bezin and handing over Ksav. And as I say, some poskim in Shulchan Aruch accept that. B, that there's a double argument in these issues. One, the relationship between the role of Baldavar and Edim. And you can argue that, and you can understand that in two ways. Is the importance, you know, of these shitos that equate Baldavar and Edim, is it the upgrading of Bali Dvarim? Like we're saying, oh, just like Edim clearly have a certain formal protocol, you know, we're very rigorous about the Edim, we're very, demanding in terms of like a very specific form, you know, of Edus. So the Chiddush is that Huadin, Bali Dvarim. Wow, you know, we would have thought that would be like a more informal, but it says, you know, the Pasuk implies that, you know, we care about Bali Dinim too. So is that the point, that we're equating, we're upgrading and equating, you know, Balei Dvarim to Edim? Or is the point more that, you know, we're kind of downgrading Edus and saying, well, you know, Balei Dvarim also have some minimal, you know, because they're more, maybe more pragmatic Dinim, you know, that's really what Edim, you know, require. So that's an interesting question. The idea that Balei Dinim, you know, stand, you know, the order of the Balei Din, there are whole you know, issues about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So both Din are being learned from Edim to Balei Din, right? Both Din of Torgamon and Din of Mipia. So is it really only one directional?
I thought the Torgamon Din is originally from Balei Din.
You
know?
You start saying that.
Or maybe
I mean, the passage that they quote is, Shishan Edim Damarach, Albishan Edim, Shalote Sanhedrin Shamasi of the Torgamon. And he says, Yesh Omrin, out of the Vaisi Lami Kradach, said, the Edim, the Vaisi Lami Dinim.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought they originally had it the other way. Okay. So, yeah. So it's two Dinim, you know, that go. But then, so then it's really just it's an assumption of that. And then the assumption also that, because you could still have said that, and still have been Bechalik between the Torgamon and, I'm sorry, so I got it wrong. Yeah.
Is it possible that the Ritva is not really? I mean, it seems to me when you read the Ritva, he's just trying to say it's one pasuk, so you have to have the same dinim, but not necessarily that they should be like api svara, like actually connected.
I mean, it's limited to, you know, to these particular things because I learned out from this pasuk.
Like he's saying,
could
like,
be.
It's
I'm
all
just
one
saying
pasuk,
the effect.
It could be.
The effect of it is, though, but put it this way: armed with this evidence, you know, which otherwise is not obvious, namely that we're extending to Balei Dinim, the Dinim that apply to Edim, you know, it's not, you could say, well, Ein Lecha L'Bal L'Chidusho, Ma D'Gali Gali, Ma D'Lo Gali Lo Gali, you know, but it certainly gives you more of a reason to be thinking that, you know, that the standards of Edus and other things also may apply more to Balei Dinim. So I think you're right, it's possible to limit it. We don't know yet, like, you know, he's not saying making other hekeshim, you know, necessarily. But we wouldn't be surprised that somebody who's inclined to read the psukim this way, or to apply the psukim this way, you know, would also maybe, you know, find it attractive to go further with it, right? Yeah.
Are we suggesting that that these dinim of Indus and Shemasan, Mikhaim Targuman and Mikhaim Bum Savam are really dinim in Eidos, and that that might apply to them to the Bali Dinim as well?
No, I don't think Bali Dinim are not Eidim, obviously. What I am saying is that, you know, maybe they're dinim of Kabbalah, maybe they have protocol dinim of Bezdin. Or even if they're not so much dinim of Bezdin, let's say they're dinim of, let's say, formal dibur, you know, or formal sipur or sfiras dvarim, you know, and we're assuming, you know, in both cases, whether either according to either things, that balei dinim either, you know, partake of the, you know, Kabbalah bebezdin idea, or that, you know, that there's formal, whenever there's formal dibur, and balei dinim also have formal dibur, that that you have these requirements. That's really what I'm saying. I'm not. Of course, in the end of the day, there are, you know, important differences between Bali Dinim and Eidos, and Eidos is never, you know, and remember that, you know, I mean, we'll just invoke the famous Shitas, you know, Harimi Gash, you know, known usually as Shitas Haraivid, but, you know, it's part of my campaign to get, you know, Harimi Gash, you know, credit for this, and that is that, you know, trying to explain, you know, why... you know, why it is that, you know, somebody who's like very nogei of the davar is, or even more, you know, the mekayme davar akasav medaber, the language of the Gemara in Makos and above, you know, why somebody who, you know, is in that position is possibly eidos or can't be an aid. So the Rimi Gash in Bava Basra and Chesk Zabatim, talking about, you know, a bunch of different issues, chilas of sofa be'edus, and so on, edus shabatla, and also the Ravid, just much more known as the Ravid, suggests that somebody who is a bal davar is not an aid possibly, simply mufka be'edus, meaning, by definition, somebody who's, you know, one of the, you know, protagonists in a case can't be an aid. You know, these are functions that are totally incompatible. It's not that, in other words, you have an aide, and he, you know, has an interest, and therefore we don't believe him, which is the other view of, let's say, Nogeyar, Baldavar. But Rimi Gash and the Ravid are suggesting it's, and Rambam, you know, implicitly accepts this, are saying much more than that. They're saying, you know, somebody whose interests are too great, you know, loses his status as an aide, just by definition. It's a chumra and a kula, depending on what you apply. For things like Edishavatam Batasa Batla Kula or Tzchilasav Sova Bakasharas, it ends up being a big kula, because they're not puzzle, they're just mufka legamri. You know, in other things, they might be, it might be a chumra, like, can you say Kiblu Alai, things like that, assuming Kiblu Alai is in the skybus. So, of course, I mean, just to answer your question, you know, Bale Dvarim and Edim are, you know, especially for those Rishonim, but even if you don't go that far to explain the psulim, are you know, different, you know, aspects of the system and even incompatible in every way. However, what they may share in common, as I say, is number one, the standards of Bezdin, of Kabbalah Bezdin, and what constitutes, in both cases, you know, formal presentation, although it could have been Mechalik. Yeah. Okay, good. I don't want to spend so much time on that, but okay, good. Just quickly, the Hashlama, to talk about that for a minute, and then to finish up just on one point of the Rambam. The Sefer Hashlama in Bava Metzia, I told you to look at, it's actually alluded to also in the Hashlama himself is usually considered to be the author of the parish that appears on the side of the Gemara in Yevamos. What is it? Chad Mikamoi? You know what they call it? On Lamed Aleph, you know, Omid Beis. So he makes reference to it also, yes. He quotes the Ravid, you know, that the same Ravid that the Ramban quotes, and he asks an earlier question about Shavuos Eidos. Anyway, then he says, and look what I wrote in Bava Metzia. Yeah. So that's the Hashlama, the Sefer Hashlama. So in Bava Metzia, there's an interesting Hashlama. I made allusion to it already. But, yeah, so what does he, What does he say? The Tanel? I got it wrong. Not in the Tanel. Not that? Yeah. You didn't see it? Okay. Tuvia? No one had a chance to see the... Yeah.
Yeah, he basically says that he talks about the shear of Das and Mitzchayim, and he talks about the denial of Taino and Barathi.
He says he hasn't mentioned Das and Mitzchayim, but although it could very well be that that's what he's talking about. What does he quote? He quotes a name of Rabbeinu Yaakov. It could be another version from Rabbeinu Tam. Especially for Rabbeinu Tam, you know, is in fact holds that there are two different dinim, right? One din of Eitz Piksav and a separate din of Shtar, which is very reasonable. So he says in the name of Rabbeinu Yaakov that what? Go ahead, you have language? Go ahead.
Yeah, so it says very often they start from the second half.
Yeah. Oh, the end. Yeah, where he quotes.
The Rabbeinu Yaakov Kosov said, Kol Shtar, Sha'osem, Maisa Shtar, Kolomar, Shi'itz, Yisun, this is close to Bala Shtar, Yoser, Ermei, Yedus, Alpat, Lomi, Pik, Sovim. The Shtar, Sha'in, Balach, Rai, Sha'osem, Maisa Shtar, are who Sha'inu Yaakov, Lomar, Grati, the Fikach, Govin, Minachasi, Im, Bnei Chorin. The Shmuel, the Amar, Larry, Mayor, Ino, Govin, Minachasi, Bnei Chorin. Hava, Sviri, Lay, the Ino, Osa, Maisa Shtar,
Yeah, so this is explanation of the Gemara there, but let's see, we're not going to go into it right now. This is part of the sugya we also will talk a little more about. You know, it starts with the, Abaye's sheet about Eidu B'chasam B'chzachim, though. So what do you make of it? Kol shtar she'osa ma'isa shtar, klomar, she'esh yitron uzchus, right, lebal hashtar, yoser me'edus alpeh. So in order to qualify, in order not to be peak sabam, you have to be better than a shtar. So is that, first of all, it's just an interesting point. What does he mean by that? He means that the problem of mipik sabam is that it's a second rate to edus alpeh, and therefore by definition, it's unacceptable because edus has to have a certain standard. And if this is a second rate, if the proper, preferred way to be made, is to come to court and to be made, so then by definition, the Eidus Piksav is short of that. And there, meaning, this part of the Hagdara of Eidus is that it be on the highest of standards, within its category. But Lu Yitzuyar, right, you had some, benefit, to Eidus Piksav, right, then that wouldn't be a problem with Eidus, because not per se that the Eidus is no good. It's that, by definition, you can't have edus, which is, inferior. This is superior by virtue of the itaron. Is that what he's saying? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just not sure. We don't have enough evidence. Or is this his way of saying das mitzchayim, meaning in a way that, this is shtar, this is a different chalos. You need a different chalos for a shtar. And what makes it a different chalos? Right? What allows for the category of shtar, right? So what he's saying basically in the piece is that first and foremost it would be shibudim, right? And the debate in the Gemara will be, even if it's not shibudim because the shtar shein bo achrayus, what if it's only shtar chavyari maibon, right? So again, on the yitaron and what it does, I think those are two ways to explain it. And again, this goes back a little bit to Tosas and the Re, saying, Maisa Shtar, Tikkun Hashtar. He just means the formulation of it, or so it's a Chalos Shtar, something, or like maybe that was the Pshat Reb Chaim Shtari Kinyan, if it wasn't Dasa Mitzchayim. It parallels a lot of the things that we have been discussing. So I think there are two separate points to bring out. One is that first one, Kol Shtar Shosa Maisa Shtar, Klomar Shiesh. Maisa Shtar means Yeshi Taron Itzkus Lavala Shtar. Is that a din in shtar and das mitzchayim, or it reveals what was really wrong with edus piksav she'im bo yitzur? But as far as the shibudim and the shtar chavyadi is concerned, so that just to add, again, just I mentioned it already, but the idea of shibudim can be understood in two ways, as I've said before. And we'll see more of that. One is that, with respect to shibudim, a shtar is a shtar kinyan. Notice that the ability to be govem in a chasam mishubadim is kind of like a quasi kinyan that you make on the karka. That's a karka's nikdes begibel drachim, right? Bekesef, bishtar, ubechazaka. So that's true when you, of course, when you really acquire the full karka. Let's say you don't acquire the full karka; you just acquire, you know, a right of collection, you know, in the context, you know, of some the backup of some other transaction. So the more you think of that in an upfront way, namely like the Ritva, famous Ritva in Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel, like a quasi, you know, kinyan or something like that. So, like, you know, where did that come from? So the answer is it came from the shtar. There's a kinyan legabe. There's a kinyan of the whole karka, and there can be a kinyan, a quasi kinyan, you know, a chatzi kinyan, if you will, on gviya the karka under certain, you know, conditions. So it's if that's what we're talking about here. So it becomes like an interesting thing to think about because on the one hand, the shibudim in that case is way more upfront in the transaction. But at the same time, there's certain like a dialectical, you know, perspective here. On the one hand, it's way more upfront, and on the other hand, you could say it's so upfront that it's kind of, you know, discreet. In other words, there's the transaction. In addition to that, I'm making a separate transaction, you know, that is making my karka available, you know, a bikinyan, a kind of a kinyan al tanai, you know, in the following circumstances. So, of course, it's related to failure to meet my commitments on the transaction, on the court transaction, but because it is so, it has a separate kinyan in a way, you could have said, hai l'chud ekoi b'hai l'chud ekoi, of course you're doing both at the same time, you know, in terms of, you know, practicality, we understand what the connection is, but maybe legally you did such a good job that you, you know, kind of, you know, made them too discreet, too independent from each other. Then it would hard be say, oh, you have a shtar kinyan on shibudim, but what does that have to do, you know, legally, informally, you know, with the halva, let's say, you know, or the mecher, you know, or no, that's not true. It's, everybody understands that the whole point is that it's a chatzi kinyan, and it's a chatzi kinyan which is tied to, you know, the conditions, you know, of the original deal. And therefore, it's like a strengthening of that deal, and that ein lecha das in the sky of, you know, kind of gadol mizeh, where you are kind of, you know, even on a kinyan level, guaranteeing, you know, that this, you know, protection, let's say, for the transaction. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. On the other hand, the other way to look at shibudim always is that, as I mentioned the other time, is that, you know, it creates kind of smichus das in the transaction. I mean, there's like a natural, you know, it's more not the upfront kinyan, but it's the, you know, it's the, you know, far contingency of a kind of, you know, arvus, you know, nichsid bar inush, language of the Gemara in the end of Bal Basra, inun achroin bar voim zelazah. So, you know, it's kind of a down the road, you know, kind of a thing. And, you know, on the other hand, it's, you know, when you have a transaction which you have provided, which you've kind of intentionally provided greater security for and greater confidence in by virtue of the fact that there's a shtar and it can't be denied and it can't be hidden and so on and so forth. So then automatically part of the consequence of that is the arvus of you know, the down the road guarantee. Part of the smichus das is, you know, upping, you know, the potential, you know, to you know, to secure the conditions of the sale. So on the one hand, that's much less, you know, of a straightforward, you know, dasa niskayiv on the shibud. On the other hand, it flows more naturally from the type of transaction that it was, you know, initially. Either way, the idea that the shibudim would be the basis for chalos shtar is a very fascinating idea. As for shtar chavyani, my boy, you know, so again, the more you think of shtar chavyani, my boy, you know, is about the edus shabishtar or even about, you know, dasa mischayiv in a Rav Haigon way, you know, of, you know, making him yado ala elyona, you know, and so on. I'm talking about, you know, no Kenyan suitor in this case, just the shtar itself. You know, all of that, you know, is a reason. The only reason you need shtar could be on boy is to make sure that somebody's not lying, etc. So, you know, again, it touches a little bit on maybe the distinction between shtar kenyan and shtar raya of das and tzchai, but certainly, again, you can understand it. On the other hand, if shtar kabyari, my boy, is more, you know, just an umdana, unrelated to the core transaction or the, you know, then it's, you know, it's still a yitaron. You know, is that, would that perspective be enough of a yitaron? That's really more just like, oh, you know, on this extraneous din Torah over whether or not, you know, the shtar was, you know, was, you know, whether the transaction spoken about in the shtar is still relevant or not. Okay, so that's, you should just be aware, this hashlama is very, very important. Yeah. Say that again? No, I mean, first of all, I mean, shtar raya, you know, usually have the, not, it's not just halva. I mean, if you have a shtar in a, you know, a shtar sheyesh bo achrayos applies to kinyanim too. Kinyan mecher.
Right. If you have a shtar raya that I sold you my field.
Yeah.
And Shmuel doesn't think that exists according to the mayor. Just threw out all
of the, no, no, he's saying if, no, no, let's say there would be, I mean, typically a shtar, say that one more time. He's saying, let's say it was explicitly, this is what bothered him. Let's say you have explicitly a shtar she'ein bo achrayos. Like it's explicit in the shtar. Or if you say, you know, there's a question whether or not, you know, achrayos, you know, tells sofrim or not. What?
But that's under the assumption that shtar, I'm sorry, halva have achrayos. But it's not, yeah, just shtar raya of a mecher.
You have a shtar raya of a mecher, if you assume that, you know, that achrayos tells sofrim, that, and again, that that also is a debate, whether it's a kind of a umdana or it's what I'm describing now, which is like default, whenever there's betichus or smichus das in a transaction, so then part of what that means is, you know, that your assets, you know, back up your transaction. So that would apply in the case of Mechira too. Yeah. And we'll discuss that more when we talk about Shas Ksuva, Shas Ksiva. Yeah.
For this Sar Ubin Yaakov, isn't it a little bit circular to say that what defines a shtar is what the benefits of a shtar are?
No. What I'm trying to explain is, you know, two things. So I was basically taking two approaches, right? One is that, you know, maybe the problem of Bipik Sabam is the fact that it's, you know, below standard. You know, and this, you know, not only justifies why you're going the route of Eidus Piksav, you know, but it's a benefit, right? So if you explain that, it's certainly not circular. Even otherwise, what I'm trying to explain is it's not circular. The other perspective is that it is a kind of dasa miskayim, or at least some sort of chalos shtar. Why is that circular? I mean, it's
meaning that once you lose.
If it's what, because of kinyanim, put it that way. If it's kinyanim, then it's certainly not circular.
Right, but
even if it's raya, the point is that the reason that you're doing it this way is because you want to.
Right, but
you're upping your commitment. You know, you basically not to lie, or you're upping your commitment. You know, to allow for greater, you know, implementation of the agreement.
Right, but even just in the practical sense, if something that doesn't have shtar chabiyadi isn't a shtar, then...
If something that doesn't have shtar chabiyadi, for example...
Meaning that's his point, right?
No, his point is, if you don't have shibudin, but you have shtar chabiyadi, will that be enough to be considered a shtar?
Right, meaning the...
If you have shibudin, everybody will agree that that's good enough. If you only have shtar chabiyadi, is that good enough? The answer is that made them, because maybe you need kinyanim, or maybe you need an actually substantive, expanded gvia, as opposed to, you know, negating, you know, the lying or the disputed. You know, it's one thing to focus on collection options, you know, when everybody is in agreement and everybody's being honest about the transaction, and it's quite something else, you know, to have a benefit that revolves only, you know, around credibility. In a similar way to what we're saying about, you know, shtari kinyan, shtari raya, and dasa v'schayev. Okay, now, let's... yeah.
So.
Say that one more time.
When he described the sheet of the riff, he seems to focus on.
You mean the riff? You're talking about the one in Yavamasel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he quotes the riff as saying that it's not mitzvah salam because it's even shashtar yotzei mitachas day malve, where the riff was focusing on yotzei mitachas day
edim. Oh, he says malve.
Yeah.
Yeah? Read the line again?
In the positive sense, meaning it has to come from the malva.
I mean, it has to come from the malva as opposed to the edim. I mean, it needs to come, be tachas yad malva. Yeah, that's how I remember it. Is that, he's not saying it any different. I thought it was just interesting that he says mitachas yad malva, and I thought it's like the rabbi that way also. Instead of focusing, maybe this is what you mean, instead of focusing on the negative, on the edim as the problem, because they could be kovesh, he seems to be focusing on the absence of it being on the hands of the balashtar. Like I was saying, like what about something in between?
Right.
Right. I mean, you need that, not just that it should be yotzei mitachas eidim. That's the point you want to make?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I also thought that. Again, in the riff itself, I think he emphasizes both, and it's hard to know what would be in the in between. But I thought in the Ravid, as quoted in Sefer HaSkus by the Ramban, and in the Sefer HaShlama, yeah, you're right, that's a good ha'ara too, that it's more that it needs to be b'yad ha'malva, because you need tfisas b'al ha'shtar, not so much, you know, that it's yotzei. But again, the problem with all these things, and that's what the Nesivus was pointing out correctly as well, but I think even in the Nesivus' solution, it remains a problem, is that if you really want to interpret the riff, the whole focus on, you know, biyada even efshar likvosh and all that, you know, is a little... You're not taking that part so literally. Like, you're kind of... it's not... That isn't the mechayev. The mechayev is, you know, that it's not at the stage where it needs to be. But that's a good point. He also says that. Come on. Very good. Okay, good. Next, one final point, and then let's move on. That's just the Rambam for a minute. Like, what is the Rambam's view on Sholeach Adam Migeres Bebezdin, or Kosev, you know, Adam Eduso, you know, even Bifnei Bezdin? Ah. So we spent time on the Rambam in Perek Gimel, you know, Halacha Dalet, obviously, and, you know, in the various perspectives on what he really, really holds, the Ksos, and, you know, and the Sivas, and the Chaim, and the Pnei Yeshua, and so on and so forth. But just as you should be aware that there is this, you know, Girsa issue and controversy in the Rambam, and that's the Rambam in Perek Tes, Hilchos Eidus, Halacha Yud Aleph. I just want to speak about that for a minute, and then we'll move on. What does he say there? Anybody familiar? I'm not sure if I gave it or not. Did I give that to look? Probably not, because it's more of a side point. Here the Rambam speaks about Cheresh. This is his, discussion of Gittin, Ayin Aleph on the Beitz. So the Rambam says, just very quickly, HaCheresh Kishote, She'ein Daita Nechona Ve'ein Ben Mitzvahs. Okay, there's nothing controversial about that so far. Echad, now it becomes controversial. So, Echad cheresh medaber veina shomea, o shomea veina medaber. This is the next sentence. It's not, doesn't go on the previous line. Afal pisha riyaso riya meula, v'daita nechona. If you have a cheresh who's not eina medaber veina shomea, he is a bardas, meaning v'daita nechona. Nonetheless, tzorech lahayid bebezdin bepiv. Either way, he can't be an aid because he can't, be made bepiv in Bezdin. Right? Oh, now here's the key line. Sheyeh roi lahayid bepiv. So the Rambam actually says, right? Oh, sheyeh roi lahayid bepiv. which sounds an awful lot like Rabbeinu Tam, right? And then he says, V'yeh roi l'shmo ha-dayanim. That's also Kiddush. That's the Rambam's Kiddush. Meaning we know of the problem of Elaim, right? Eino medaber, shomea ve'eino medaber. What about a medaber ve'eino shomea? Is that a problem at all? So the Rambam thinks it is. Others do not think it's a problem. Oshia roi l'hoid bepiv. Right? V'yeh roi l'shmoa ha-dayanim ve'ha'iyum she'ma'aymim alav. That's also very interesting, implying that, you know, a lot of this has to do with being intimidated by Bezin in a good way, right? Meaning, you know, the iyum and the impact that the experience of being omeid lifnei Bezin, the full experience. B'chenim nishtatek afal b'shenivdak b'derek shibotkin l'inan gittim v'nimsa seidusa b'chuvenes b'heid b'faneinu b'ksav yado eino edus klal chutz meidus isha l'fisha b'iguna hekilu. This is the Gemara, this is the Rambam weighing in on the Gemara on Ayin Aleph on the base, which is why everybody should have seen it, just, you know, as a matter of course. Good. So what's Mechudash in the Rambam here is two things. Number one, this Medaber Beino Shomei idea and the connection to Iyum. So that's a Chiddush. Again, not other Rishonim don't necessarily agree with that, but, you know, that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch because it's in the Rambam. But the other thing is this line, O Sheyeh Roy Lahoy Befiv. So is the Rambam holding like Rabbeinu Tam? So if you look at the Kesef Mishnah, Al-Atar, he quotes the tour. The tour had a different girsa of the Rambam. I said seemingly, I'll explain it. Masha Kosev Rabbeinu, this is the Kesef Mishnah talking, O Sheyeh Roy Lahoy Befiv. Near the Svirle de Pikeach, Shesholach Savyada Lebezdin, Kivin Sheroi Lahagid, Vilishmoa Kosher, the Coloroi Labilain, Bila Makeves, Ulisvar Satosis Yavamos, Veloka Pirish Rashi Perishal Chomish. Right? Al Kapanim Div Rabbeinu Tzorachiyun. Why Tzorachiyun? Because of the Rambam in Paragim Halacha Dalid, where he seems to say that everything is only Drabana. Right? So, number one, this might be is it possible that, you know, he can be Sholeach Igeres, but he can't write a shtar? Yeah.
I think
I was
wondering if this is
true. I was expecting you to say that. So that Akiva wants to say that in the Tosis Rid. So if you were to take the Rambam like this, maybe you could say that. The problem with saying the Rambam is a little more difficult, because the Rambam's difficulty with shtar, you know, results from mipik savam, whereas for the Tosis Rid, you know, maybe there's more flexibility. But I guess you would have that, you know, phenomenon if you just accepted the two Rambams, Gimel Dalid and Tes Yud Aleph. Yeah, he originally asked for pizza. Yeah, 100%. Okay, so that, but so if you just take the two Rambams Kipshuta, that's what you're going to have to say, and then you have to kind of explain, you know, what you mean exactly. I mean, there are two types of problems in the Piksavam, but okay. But then he goes on to say, Avalatur, the tour basically. Either had a different girsa on the Rambam, basically, at least the printed tours, and he skipped that line. Avalatur kosov l'shon Rabbeinu v'kach kosov tzarech l'hoid bebezdin b'fiv v'yi eroi l'shmoa hadayanim. Okay? Meaning he skipped the middle part. The o'chi eroi, what is the line again? Oshia roi lahoid bepiv, he skipped. Okay. Vim kain lo svirale ele karashi, lady achol lishloch edusa lebezdin, ksas mashma kain mimacha kotsa perkimol, you know, eildin torah shein makabla narisha lohitir, ele lachtom bishtar. The chain yer mitchuvas from shrira, shakasav a tour. Meaning the kesav mission is saying, what you don't want to say in the Tosis Rid is even on the right, you want to say that Tosis Rid holds that you could be Sholeach Higeres, Doraisa, you know, even though you can't write a shtar, except the Drabanan. The Kesef Mishnah is troubled even on a pure Drabanan level. Right? He's saying the, you know, if you look at the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalid, so it sounds like Midrabanan were Machshir Shtaros, right? Because of Shalotin Al Deles, but we're never Machshir Eitz Biksav, right? And therefore, according to Tur is Girsa, that's fine. But if you have the, you know, the Girsa here, then it sounds like we're also Machshir Eitz Biksav. He doesn't think that the Eitz Biksav would be Doraisa and the Shtar would be Drabanan, but in theory, you know, if you want to say that the Tosis read, you might be able to say that for the Rambam. Okay, good. So just to the Lecha Mishnah, on the other hand, doesn't like it. And the Lecha Mishnah, Nichlas Chiras, and in Perek Gimel, Nichlas Edus Halacha Dalit, we already mentioned this Lecha Mishnah. He has like a bit of a different take. Lecha Mishnah's idea is that, you know, to distinguish, you know, between, you know, whether or not the Edom is, you know, Ra'i Lahoid, even in Shtaros, right? The Din of Reish Lakish, he says, that's Drabanan, you know, if the, you know, Edom don't remember, the Edom, you know, have died, you know, but as long as the Edom, that's the, I think we mentioned the commission already, that's his take on the Rambam. It's partly based on this apparent stira. Says here the Lecha Mishnah Gimel Dalid. V'dashe haven atur b'kavanas Rabbeinu Simin Chavkas Rabbeinu Sover de'en adam shaleach yedusa bebezim b'din Torah k'divrei Rashi. V'yaf agav de menuscha oseinu b'perek tes hilchus edus kasav gabi chera ish tzorek lahayid b'fiv oshi aroi lahayid mashma desfir lay ke Rabbeinu Tam right, the shaleach yedusa lebezim Masha Kasa Shama Rabbe Yosef, the low goris atur bidib rabbeinu Oshia Roy, right, Lahoid, Velini or the Efsha Danuscha, the Isom bidib rabbeinu Periktes Elu, he Ikar, he doesn't want to go that route. Rabbeinu Sava Kadib rabbeinu Tam, the Minator Adam Shalechi dos Edusol Bezdin, the Chain Mahani Star Minator, this is the Lecha Mishnah's, again, he's also not saying what you're saying, which is to be Mechalik, you know, in a little bit of a counterintuitive way. He's saying, no, everything is Midoraisa according to the Rambam. So the Lecha Mishnah, because of this, partly because of this other Rambam and the Girsa that we do have, ended up saying so just to sum up, the Rambam in Perek Tes does seem to imply, you know, that there is a case where Roy Lahoid could be made Biksav. The Tur Girsa on the Rambam cuts that out. I should add, in some of the Kisveyad of the Tur, they say that no, it isn't really the Girsa even that the Tur had, but that it was like a Hashmata al Yedei Adomim. Like if you look carefully, just you know, he missed a line when he copied it, you know. But it isn't really a, you know, a, so that's interesting. But the Kesef Mishnah in the Beis Yosef and the Kesef Mishnah and so on assumed that he had a different, you know, Girsa. The Lecha Mishnah because of this. Okay, so that. That if you do have the Girsa that we do have, how does it square with Perek Gimel Halacha Dalid? Is this even Midoraisa, or is it only, if it's only Midrabanan, so we're saying Shtar is Drabanan and Edus Biksav can be Drabanan, in a case of Ra'i Lahaid. Again, it's possible, that's what Akiva wants to suggest as well, that maybe the Rambam actually holds that Edus Biksav, B'yocha Lahaid, you know, is preferable to a Shtar, meaning a star, the din of Reish Lakish is always Drabanan. That's a little bit counterintuitive. We usually say the opposite, at least in Shtare Kinyan. And then the Lecha Mishnah has this idea that, you know, again, they're equated, but in both cases, it's always Doraisa. As long as the person is Roy Lahaid and he's alive and he remembers, then, you know, Shtar or Edus Miksav would be fine, and otherwise it would not. Another possibility, of course, in light of the Ritva, in light of the Ritva, who says that you can be, you know, you can hand in your ksav yad, the bezin, in front of the bezin. So obviously, you can read that in the Rambam very easily here in Perek Tes Halacha Yud Aleph. The year roy lishma. I'm sorry. The enum the afal pisha rayasa ria meula the daita nechona tzarich lai debezin bepiv. Oh, she a roy lahay bepiv. Right, the Rambam here is not talking about sholeach igeres. This is, I think, a very interesting phenomenon. That, in other words, that this is a speculation. You know, it's not, this is not a halachic point. It's a, like, it's a practical speculation because of the whole Rabbeinu Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, all of that was centered so much around, you know, the benefit, you know, and the case of sholeach adam igeres, you know, ksav lebezdim. So I think when it came to reading this Rambam in Perek, you know, Tes Halacha Yud Aleph, you know, so they're all weighing in. Is he called like Rashi? Is he called like Rabbeinu Tam? It's like so dominant, you know, in our thinking, you know, that. But the truth is that the Rambam here doesn't have to be talking about Sholeach Igeres at all. He could be talking about the Ritva's issue, you know, also against the Tosis Rid, though. Namely, can you be made, you know, al yedei ksav in the presence of Bezdin? So I was looking around for that to try to find, and I finally saw that somebody mentioned that the Noda Behuda interprets that way. The Noda Behuda in Madura Kama in Chosha Mishpat, Simin Lamed, says, yeah, the Rambam doesn't have to be talking about Sholeach Higeras. He could be talking about, you know, Befana. Anyways, either way, it's a very interesting issue, and very important, obviously, on a Darbanan and a Daraisa level to figure out the relationship between Shtar and Eidus Beksav, whether it's Sholeach or Befanav. You know, are they equal? In which case, are they ever Daraisa, or are they all Darbanan, Lecha Mishnah, etc.? Are they equal, or are they different? If they're different, does the Rambam Dafka think Eidus Beksav, the Ra'ui, is better, or at least if you're kosev in the presence of Bezdin, than a shtar, or is shtar always better because of Reish Lakish and Das and Iskayev? Yeah. You.
Doesn't that make a lot of sense now with the intimidation factor?
The what?
The
eum. Yeah. Again, so the present, being in the present, 100%. Yeah, I was going to mention that. That's what you mean. I mean, being present is very helpful for the whole eum, you know, factor. Correct. 100%. It comes right out. So that's a good. That's a very good ara that Yehuda's making as well. In Shulchan Aruch, just to mention that in Simin Chav Ches, if you're Aleph, because it's a really important issue, obviously. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to pass like Rashi. Ha'im sheshocha edus piksav lebezdin eino edus. This is Chav Ches Yer Aleph. Tetziv al pishnayim edim piyam lo piksavam. Right? Hagav v'chei noagim. Right, udeloki esh makshirin ima edim ruuyim lahay venim ilmim tur b'shem Rabbeinu Tam. So then, what's interesting is that the sma says avalatosus varosh vamordechai vatur kasvu b'shem Rabbeinu Tam the mutter, which is true. Then he adds v'ra'isi mi morei hora'a shelo rotzu l'troach atamid chacham or atamid chachamim v'sholchu lo. Lichto veduso biksav yado ulishalcha lebezdin. V'chein nirli ma'acher del Rabbeinu Tam v'siato afilu belotam v'chacham mutter lasos chein. So it's just interesting that the Sma is reporting that a lot of people were knowing like Rabbeinu Tam, at least in case of somebody who was like an adam chashu, then you can't drag him, you know, to court, that they were so mech on Rabbeinu Tam, you know, at least in that circumstance. So it's very interesting and a kind of a lot of the issues that we've been discussing, you know, coalesce around that. Okay, so let's begin now talking about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. So let's start with Gavi, if you don't mind. That's the Mishnah Pei Vav Amud Aleph. We'll get that on the record quickly, and then we'll start from the beginning. The main mission, of course, is on, again, in Hamagaresh. You have it? Shlosha Gittin Psulim. Okay, so nisus of vlad kosher means, you know, notwithstanding the midaraisa, which is what we're interested in at the moment, right, these three Edim are Ksherim Bidoraisa. Of course, the one of Ksav Yada we're going to have to get back to. We talked a little bit about Ksav Yada the other day. We already mentioned, you know, a couple of days ago, weeks ago, whenever it was, that Rashi here weighs in on the, you know, Ksav Yada, you know, question. Who is the Man Damar who thinks that a Ksav Yad get is kosher midoraisa? You have this really interesting Rashi, which we'll get back to. Right? You have it there, Gabi? Haitana, that's the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Haitana lav karabi meir svirale, domer nechasima karsi. The Rabbi Meir of Lad Mamzer, meaning Ksav Yad is not a substitute for Eidei Chasim. That's the Musar, the initial, you know, thinking of Rashi. Go ahead. So what are you going to say then?
Even the Rabbi Meir
of Lad Mamzer, meaning
Ksav Yad is not a substitute
for Eidei Chasim. So like it's a Inam. Either Rabbi Meir will not embrace Ksav Yad. Right? I wanted to contrast that with the Balamor's, you know, formulation in Yavamos, which is that every shtar is mi PM, you know, is not a problem PM below mi piksavo, because it's mi piksavo that's the problem, not mi piksavo. So, in a way, you know, the Balamor kind of made savo like the paradigm. So, but Rashi's saying, no, I mean, you don't have to aid him. So, or it's hodas baldin kame edim dami, so you do have edim. It's not so much that edim are ksav yado; it's that ksav yado, right? Either is, you know, a different mandamar, or is on the basis of din of hodas baldin is edus. It's like ede chasima. So we'll have to go back to that. The lav krabi eliezer certain sirale. Go ahead. Dom edim sira karsi. Yeah. The Kasav Anasam Karina Bay. So that's a third point. Either, you know, it's not Rav Meir, right? Or it's, you know, we'll have to see, you know, how people understood this Rashi. Or it's, you know, Hodas Baldin Kamedim Dami. Or it's a kind of like Zeres HaKasuv in Gittin, because Torah says V'Kasav, you know, Lasei for Krisis V'Nasam Biyada. So V'Kasav Anasam, I mean, he wrote it himself, right? The Alpha Gav. This would be even according to Rabbi Eliezer, maybe, right? This not be din edim sira. The Alpha Gav, the lake edim sira. Yeah. Okay. Good. Anyway, so that's the Mishnah. Then what's the end of the Mishnah? Rabbi Lazar Omer, since we just introduced it. Okay, we'll talk about the Nechasim Mishibadim part later. But again, so Rabbi Lazar requires Eidei Mesira, right? Even if there's no signatures in the shtar, if the shtar was handed over in the presence of two witnesses, that is a kosher shtar, and Govim and Nechasim Mishibadim, even though, remember, it's just a story. It's just words on a piece of paper. Objectively, right, this shtar, you know, is... there's nothing in the shtar that objectively, you know, connects it to Eidos, or that is anything more than a story. Okay? On the other hand, yeah, keep going. How come we're all so familiar with, and so strongly identify a shtar with Chasim Asa Edim, right? That's what the Mishnah is now addressing, right? What's the answer? You don't need the Eidei Mesira, right? I'm sorry, you don't need Eidei Chasima if you have Eidei Mesira, but what does Rashi say? Tikkun Olam, Shemei Musu Eidei Mesira, V'yava Bal V'yarer, right, that's based on the sugya later on, Lamed Vav, we have a similar comment in the Mishnah, that's the Tikkunah. Okay, good. So, the Mishnah basically establishes that there's a shita called of Rabbi Eliezer, the Eidei Mesira Karsi, without Eidei Chasima, where the Chasima, if you have it, is Mipnei Tikkun Olam. And then there is Kasa Biksav Yado, the Ein Alav Eidim, which is Kashem La Torah, and you have three you know, possibly, you know, formulations in Rashi, either that's against Rabbi Meir, or that is Midin Rabbi Meir, Hodos Baldin, or Bekasab Benasa. Okay, now skip to the Gemara here on Pei Vav of the days for a minute. You saw it? So then very quickly, on Rabbi Eliezer part, Afal Pi, Om Rabbi Yudah Marav, oh, so there's a discussion, argument, whether or not, this is going to be important, whether Rabbi Eliezer's chiddush that Eidim Besira without Eidim Chasima are Karsi, or the need for Eidim Besira, we'll see which one later, this the din of Rabbi Eliezer, whatever that is, right, whether it's its exclusiveness or its inclusiveness or both, we'll get to that, meaning it's only Begitin or even Beshar Shtarms. Okay, that seems to be a debate. Go ahead. Meaning Rabbi Lazar holds maybe that what? That there's an expanded, you know, din of Eidim Besira Karsi, but we only paskin like him, Begitin, and not Bishtari Milva or things like that. Okay, go ahead. Rav Saber Kavatsi Bechada, Poli Bechada. Bechena Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, go ahead. Oh. Meaning? What does it mean, I feel Reach again, Aimbo? It's nothing. It's, you know, as we already discussed, Reach again, right? It might even be a Dindo Raisa. Most Rishonim think it's Doraisa, right? Isha Grusha Meisha. So if you have a Maisa Gerushin, even one that isn't completely Chal, or isn't Chal Legabe Aldinim, it might be Chal Legabe Kuhuna. It might still be a Maisa Gerushin, right? Or maybe even a Chalos Gerushin Legabe something. So what we're being told is that he holds that if you have a Shtar, Be'edi Mesira, it's nothing. It's zero. Not even a Ruach again. Reach again. Okay. Rabbi Yanai?
Rabbi Yanai,
Rabbi Lazar. The Chena Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. We can just go through this quickly. Right, Halacha Rav Yosef Begitim. Rav Yochanan Amar, go ahead.
Rav Yochanan Amar, Kilo.
Recha Gedei Bo. Lame Rav Yochanan Leist Rav Lazar. Achi Kamach. They completely reject Shtar Beitim. It's nothing. Okay, go ahead. He died, so now he's reporting in his name. Halacha, Rav Lazar Begitin, Rav Asenu Abekiyim Bedavar, Bedvar Halacha. So there's not much tochen in this Gemara, right? I mean, it's like a one... like a one-trick, you know, but there's something important about it. Namely, like, you see that how consequential this issue is. Meaning, it's really important to figure out, you know, whether we pass him like Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Meir, because this isn't a small machlokas, it's a big machlokas. So even though it's like, you know, 15 lines in the Gemara, you know, figuring out two things. Number one, do we pass him like Rabbi Eliezer Begitin or not? And, by the way, if we don't, it's not even a Reach Haget, meaning it's all or nothing. It's a home run or it's a strikeout. There's no in between. It's like, you know, the Sira Mishtaleach, you know, and the Sira Lazazel. Like either it's everything or it's nothing, right? That's important to know too. That's point number two. So we paskin like Rabbi Lazar Begitin. If we don't paskin like him, it's not even a Reach Haget. There's no, you know, middle ground. Either we're like all in on Eidim Besira Karti, you know, or, you know, we think it's just you know, zero impact. And then this is the second argument, and that is, you know, will we extend halacha k'rab elazar begitin to shar shtaros? Now we don't know, or is it limited to gittin? We don't know what it means from this gemara yet. What does gittin and shar shtaros mean? Is that a way of distinguishing between specifically get and shar shtaros? Or is it get and kiddushin? What about shtar shikror? What about shtar mecher? Is shtar kinyan? Right, so where do you draw the line in this discussion of gittin versus shtar shtaros? Do you mean shtar kinyan versus shtaraya? Or do you mean specifically, you know, gittin or gittin v'kiddushin? You know, or gittin v'kiddushin v'shar shekhor. Right? There are different places to draw the line, and we have to examine that as well. Okay, so this is the background, and why would we, you know, be mechalik whenever we draw the line? Like, what is that line? Why are we drawing that line? Okay, so we have just another couple. This is like to get us there a little bit. So now let's just start the beginning. What's the background? How does this come up on Dav Gimel? Right, it comes up based on the Mishnah and the Gemara, which all of which we'll get back to. Eitan, you want to just read a little bit? Yeah, just from the Mishnah, just to get us going. We're just going to spend another 5-6 minutes just to get, and we will go back over all this stuff, but just to get the background in. Okay, so this is a funny way to start the Masechta. You know, again, you have all the reason that we, you know, started elsewhere is because we're trying to understand some more core dinim d'oraisa. And again, like the Bahag and the Shulchan Aruch who started, you know, with the last sugya, or just figuring out what a shtar is, you know, and especially focusing in a way on shtar Eid Chasima and Reish Lakish. We'll get back more to that, of course. And now we're talking about, you know, the core question of get and shtaros. But the Masechta doesn't begin with that, and it's a little bit strange. There are all sorts of explanations that are given. Instead, the Masechta begins with kind of a more peripheral, you know, din derabanan, right? Maybe getting din mesayam, the requirement of b'fanei nachtam, which is certainly only a din derabanan, and the Mishnah's mechalek between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Okay, keep going. We'll discuss all that, of course. Keep going. Yeah. Okay, so the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael and what all this means are something that we will discuss, but I want to first get into the Shtaros part, so you'll take my word for it at the moment. We won't, you know, delay too long for that. Okay. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, I feel a hegemonia of hegemonia, meaning, you know, what about in between places, you know, in Chutz La'aretz, in between places in Eretz? So when do you need b'fanei nachtam, b'fanei nachtam? When do they make this takana and not? Obviously, that depends a lot on the nature of the takana, which we'll discuss. Go ahead, Rav Yudah Omer. Yeah, so this, of course, all has to do with boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and the question is whether the boundaries regarding b'fanei nechtam and Gittin, which is Din Drabanan, where we're mechalik between, you know, Eretz Yisrael and Medina Sayam, are those identical with, you know, the boundaries that we're familiar with regard to Dinim Daraisa, right? And is there more than one, you know, way of defining Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, you know, with regard to different dinim, including, like, you know, what about, you know, the original boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, you know, of the Yotze, you know, Mitzrayim, you know, in time of Yehoshua, you know, where the kibush was much more expansive, you know, than the resettlement of Ezra, right? Oli Babel. So what are we talking about? You know, what boundaries are koveya with regard to this din derabanan, the funding after the funding now? What is it patterned after? And does that, you know, provide us with insight in general into, you know, Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz issues? Those, that, not for now, but we'll get back to that. Okay. Hamevi get, that's some of the big tosis in here, especially about Akko, this big one, Ashkelon Kedarom. We'll get back to it. Okay, keep going. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't need b'fanei nachta b'fanei nachtam. Obviously, it's not something that is, you know, indispensable to the get. It's, you know, there to compensate for some particular concern that is more acute in Chutz La'aretz than in Eretz Yisrael, as we'll soon find out. However, in Yesh Olav Orim, this is very important. If there is some sort of challenge to the authenticity of the get, then Yiskayim b'chosam. So the Mishnah, you know, is telling, the last line of the Mishnah is very important, is telling us, you know, something that we're already familiar with, you know, but which we need to zero in on. Namely, what if, you know, there's a certain status to a shtar, there's a certain integrity, self-protective mechanism, you know, of a shtar per se, but if it's actually directly, you know, challenged, you know, does that protective mechanism, you know, need further reinforcement or not? So we're saying b'fanei nachtam b'fanei nachtam is not necessarily not necessary in Eretz Yisrael, but if there are orim, right? If the Baal says this is not an authentic get, then yiskayim b'chosam. So I have to see: is that d'oraisa? Is that d'rabbanan? You know, is that the din in all shtaros? Is that a din only in gittin? All the issues that we'll talk about. Okay, go ahead. Eitan, go ahead. Just a little bit more, just another 3 minutes or so, just to get us to where we want to go, just background-wise. My time, what's the point of b'fanei nachtam, b'fanei nachtam? Yeah? So there are two. Yeah, what does each one mean? Eitan, so what does it mean, l'fishein b'ki and nishma? You need l'sh... Go ahead. A get has to be lishma. That's not something that we can concede on, and therefore the concern was that people in Chutz La'aretz weren't aware or weren't sufficiently aware of that requirement, and therefore the affirmation of b'fanei nachtam in the nesinas haget is a positive requirement in order to establish the presence of lishma. Otherwise, we're choshesh that it's not lishma. Okay. So this has then to do, this din of b'fanei nachtam has to do with the requirement of lishma and gittin, which is something that we're aware of, law lishma, but we'll have to examine it, like, what is that? How does that fit in with other lishmas of Kol HaTorah Kula, right? Sefer Torah, Korban, making matzahs. Is it all the same, all the lishmas, or the special dinim? We'll have to talk about that. Okay. But lishma, everybody agrees is a requirement of lishma. And some people think, Rabba thinks, that b'fanei nachtam is to ensure its presence. What about Rabba?
Rabba says because there aren't going to be eidim around to be
the... What we're really worried about is not a gittin problem. We're worried about a shtaros problem. Right? We're worried about the problem of Shema, you know, Mizuyafu, or something like that. And it's really about, you know, authenticating, meaning the attack on the integrity, on the authenticity of the shtar, something what we've been, you know, dancing around, you know, in our Reish Lakish discussions. Okay? So really, b'fanei nachtam is about kiyum shtaros. Okay, keep going. My benayu. Well, again, we'll go back to all this stuff, but this just to be familiar as background. So asyu betray, you're not worried about what?
You're not worried
about
Edom
Kiyum, right? Because you have Edom there, right? But Lishma would still be a problem, right? Inami.
Medina,
Medina, Beretz Yisrael. You're not worried about Lishma, correct? Yeah. But also Medina be Medina Siyam, you're not worried about Eidim Mitsuyim. Good. So there are nafkamina, and we'll discuss them more when we go back on this. Okay, go ahead. What is that? Meaning, how come if it's a requirement of Lishma, why doesn't that require Eidus, which always means two? How can one Shliach, right, say B'faneinak V'faneinakam? This is the problem of, this is the Sugya V'edacho Nemam B'Surin, which we'll also go back to. Go ahead. Midid Haba Kol Eidios Shabbat Torah, that's the Gemara's assumption. The answer is... Yeah. Shall Shuman? Excellent. So, this is the Gemara weighing in on, again, this is one of the most important Gemaras, together with the Gemara in the beginning of the 10th parak of Yevamos, you know, and some other Gemaras, about the parameters of Eidecha Nema Bisurim, and what about Eschazik Isura, you know, and so on. So what's the Gemara's answer? Somehow, because Rov Bikianheim, you know, that affects whether or not you need two Edim or you can get away with Eidecha. Right? Okay. Vafilu Rabbi Meir, go ahead, the Chayesh Lamiuta. Yeah, it's more than the regular Rov. Okay, good. Again, we'll talk about the Eidecha part later. Rabbanan? It's an added chashash to Rabbanan, and since it's an added chashash to Rabbanan, we're also mekil on what, you know, we demand more, and we, you know, in demanding more, we're also going to be more flexible in how you carry out that demand. Okay, says the Gemara, but is it really a kula? Yeah. Bifne kamanos nala. Yeah, because the presence has to be in front of two or three, right? So then, me dikta. Okay, we'll get back to this. Good. Then you have a similar shaka vitari about Rava. Go ahead. Oh. This, of course, is very important, and we have done it already, but we'll do it more because there's more local things to discuss, and the Gemara Ksuvos. Meaning, typically, you do Kiyum Shtaros is not, sounds like the Gemara is saying, is not a Doraisa requirement. Why not? This is one of the few places where we quote Reish Lakish directly. Go ahead. Right, despite what I call the catch 22, you know, the shtar is protecting itself, but the whole question is, can it protect itself to establish that it's a shtar so that it can protect itself? Right? That's truly circular. Right? Or not, but yeah. Okay, so that's the magic of Reish Lakish. Okay, Verabanan. Yeah, then the Gemara says, Haikula Chumrahu. Same shaka vatar, yeah? Yeah. Okay. Rava my tam ale omar karaba. Yeah. Okay. Rabba. Okay. Okay, so this is all stuff that we will, you know, get back to, but you can see there's a topic here about the drabanan of b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam in Lishma, and the drabanan of b'fanei nechtam in Kiyum. This is a Doraisa topic of Reish Lakish, and Maksum Ashtar Nasa can be Shadech or Edusan as applied to Ziyuf. And there's a Doraisa topic of Edech Neman Bisurin, all of which, and of course, boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, all this we'll get back to. Okay, Amar Lach, go ahead. Yeah, okay, now we get to the part that we're going to zero in on for the next couple of days. Go ahead, just one more, 2 more minutes. I mean, if it really is true that b'fanei nechta means lishma, right, who's the man damar who requires both ksiva and chasima lishma? Okay, that's where we now get in. Go ahead. So it sounds like if you hold like what? Like Rabbi Meir, the ksiva is irrelevant. The ksiva is irrelevant for lishma. It's just a hechatimtzi. Correct? The real action is the chasima, and that would affect lishma. And the raya is from mechubar. Why is there, what's the raya from mechubar?
Because
if you write the gela, it's still mechubar. A get ben mechubar is pasul, because it says benasan. The question is, what's the critical moment in a get? Is it b'shas ksiva or b'shas, you know, chasima? So if the ksiva was b'mechubar, but the tolshu and then chasmu, right, that's kosher. So you see, both in terms of lishma and in terms of the psul mechubar, that the critical moment for Rabbi Meir is chasima, not ksiva. Go ahead. He has the opposite issue. Yeah, go ahead. Maybe he needs kasima lishma drabanan. The mission that we just read, right? That's the Mishnah. So Yisrael Belazer doesn't require chasima lishma, right? Ella, Rabbi Meir he. Maybe midrabanan he requires ksiva. Even though it's matzah b'ashma means the ksiva was shalol lishma, he found a generic get, right? So as long as the chasima is lishma, that's good. So you see, midrabanan, you don't need lishma in ksiva. Chitema, maybe that's also only midoraisa. Yeah. Okay, let's stop here. So basically, we did our usual allotment, like two daf in the day. good work, Gavi and Eitan, thank you. So basically, we have two options: either Modra Belazer b'Mizuyah Mitocho, right, which was seems to be the case. That of course needs explanation. What does it mean, Rabbi Elazar? Modra, you don't need ksiba lishma, but if you have, you don't need chasima lishma. You don't need chasima at all. But if you had edema chasumim, then you have to have lishma. Modra Belazer b'Mizuyah Mitocho. Is that a din daraisa? Is that a din drabanan? What exactly is that? Is that affected by the larger, argument whether Rabbi Elazar is an exclusive view or an inclusive view? Meaning, what's Rabbi Elazar hold about Eidei Chasima in general, right? Mechud. You don't need them, but if you have them, they work. Even without Eidei Mesira, then that would help you understand one perspective on Mod Rabbi Elazar Mizuyah Mitoch. If not, like, what does this mean? Okay. Or you have the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Right, we don't paskin that way. Rabbi Yehuda gives attention both to ksiva and chasima. Okay, so we'll stop here. What we want to figure out is this argument about how you, you know, what b'kasav means, b'kasav and b'kasav, the effect on lishma, the effect on mechubar, the effect on whether edim mesira karsa, or the result of edim mesira, edim chasima karsi, is this argument like a small technical argument, how to read psukim and how to apply dinim? You know, but maybe, but basically you could say midr Rabbi Lazar nishma l'Rabbi Meir, midr Rabbi Meir nishma l'Rabbi Lazar, meaning you could always substitute, you could plug in, you know, Rabbi Lazar's ksiva for Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir's for Rabbi Lazar, or this argument really touches on the core of two different perspectives on what a shtar is, in which case you have to be very, very careful, you know, before ever applying, you know, in parallel dinim from one to the other. That's what we're going to pick up with. Yes, I shall answer.